Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hello, this is Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with our co-host, Dr. Christina Chambreau, a doctor of veterinary medicine. Today is May 3rd, 2012, and we have been having weekly sessions together, learning how to care for our pets in all kinds of situations, and learning how to journal and keep tabs on the progression of their health throughout their life. And today I have called in to Dr. Christina Chambreau from Washington. Are you in Washington State?
I am. I'm in Washington State, staying with a friend who's a naturopathic physician, and I'm here for the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy Conference, which is happening in Portland, Oregon. And then on Sunday afternoon, I'll be teaching a class, Introduction to Homeopathy for Animals, also in Portland, Oregon, at the Naturopathic College. So I'm surrounded by naturopathic people.
That sounds wonderful, very motivational and inspirational. And it's probably not too late, if anybody is out that way, to walk in the door to the workshops and sign in and start learning.
Absolutely. Or they can call my cell phone, or they can go to my website, or they can email me, multiple ways to find out. They go to my website to events. All the information is there.
Okay, we need to tell them that is
www.myhealthyanimals.com.
Great, myhealthyanimals.com, and that's what you talk about. We also have on Homeopathy World Community show notes, and once the show is finished, I will post the archive recording directly on Homeopathy World Community for you to listen there as well. Please do tell your friends to join us. I have finally opened the chat for today, so if you are listening, get over there to the chat, put your comments, your questions. Dr. Chambreau will love to answer them, and if you have something really special, we can create an entire show around the theme of your issue. So today we're going to be talking about worms. So these are problems.
Actually, we're talking about heartworms today.
Oh, heartworms specifically.
Very different than worms. People get heartworms and worms mixed up all the time.
My error. Okay, so you're
going to heartworms are a worm, but they're so different, and yet people don't realize that. And this gets back first to one of our basic, one of the basic things we've been talking about in this show, and what Debbie's been doing for years with this homeopathy world community and Blog Talk Radio in many different areas, like in vaccination for people, is for us to ask questions. Don't do something just because, quote, an expert tells you to do it. You need to ask questions because you need to understand why you're doing anything. Most people, I'm amazed actually, but there are a large number of people who go to their vet and they go on heartworm medication and they do it once a month, all year long, and they have no idea how their dog gets heartworm, and they have no idea how the heartworm medication works. They think it's a preventative. Really, it's a morning after pill, not a preventative. So the first thing we want to talk about is, why are we even worried about this? Okay, I'll just give my dog a drug every month. I'll give my dog 10 vaccines every year. I'll feed my dog science diet from the vet clinic. I'll treat my dog or cat or horse with, anytime there's a problem, we'll give a drug that stops the problem without paying attention to the overall of the dog or cat. So that's why we're addressing this issue, is that heartworm prevention, like everything else that I talked about there and more, can affect some dogs. It can make some dogs ill. It can trigger their vital force to produce symptoms of chronic disease. Many dogs do fine on heartworm prevention. So if they do fine on it, why give it? Why stop giving it? You want to stop giving it unnecessarily, because while they're doing fine on it now, it still could be taking a toll on their system, and it's making the world produce more chemicals, because it's a chemical that's being used. Somebody isn't growing a nice organic herb patch and then making a heartworm preventative from it.
So what do you mean? It's making us do what with the chemicals?
Produce more chemicals in the world. So one of my things that I talk about all the time is living light as lightly as we can on our planet.
Oh.
So every time you buy a package of heartworm prevention, you're getting foil, you're getting paper, it's been shipped in a truck, and it's been made in a laboratory that's using electricity, etc. So anytime you're doing anything that's unnecessary, it's not a good thing. So when you pair that up with the possible health risk, then there's not a reason to be overdoing it.
I understand. You know what? This is similar. It's a very similar thought to what's going on today with leaving a carbon footprint.
Yes.
In the same way of depositing all of these chemicals that lots of times gets flushed down the toilet and then starts these hormones and whatnot and other kinds of drugs get into the waterways and poisons everything. So in you're saying that by manufacturing, producing, buying all of these excess chemicals that you're giving to your pets, you're contributing to the toxicity of the planet.
Absolutely.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So there's always, in almost everything I talk about, there's the two sides to it. One is there's ways to do it that are lighter for the planet, and usually that's better for the animals. Now, my experience with heartworm prevention is I have not seen a lot of problems in my 30-year practice. I had one Boston Terrier who we couldn't figure out why this dog was, he was frantic about digging rocks out of the garden. He would, this little Boston Terrier would unearth rocks that were bigger than he was, that were there for decoration. And he would just, he'd spend hours. Every time he went in the yard, he would just spend hours frantically working on the rocks. We tried different things. We tried a homeopathic remedy, although that was sort of hard to look up, but more sort of compulsive behavior looking at that. And then because she was following my guidelines and not giving it during the winter, the guardian noticed that this behavior stopped a month after the last heartworm prevention had been given, or even a few, you know. She also noticed that it was worse even during the summer for a week or two or three after the heartworm prevention had been given, and then it tapered off. So we then thought, well, maybe it's the heartworm prevention. So we switched to a different brand, or we stopped entirely, and the dog's digging up of rocks completely stopped. He never did it again. Now, in 2005, at one of the advanced homeopathic seminars for animals, there were 15 veterinarians at the conference. And we, you know, every once in a while, the class will have a discussion on something, and someone brought up the issue of heartworm prevention. And most of the 15 veterinarians had seen immediate reactions that lasted a few days after the prevention was given. Now, from a homeopathic standpoint, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You take a poison and then you exhibit symptoms for a few days shortly after giving the poison or the potential poison, the potential toxin. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You're asking me. Always, yes. you put me on the spot every week. Okay. I would say that the fact that the animal is responding to try and clear whatever toxins are put into the body, that means that the animal's immune system is functioning.
Yes, absolutely. So that's a good sign.
Okay.
So that's actually not a bad thing to see that. But they also said most of the 15 had seen a fair amount of chronic disease occur afterwards. So that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of these veterinarians, most of them had gotten their clients to not use any prevention, and they were blood testing every 6 to 12 months. And then there was a AHV, American Holistic Veterinary Medical Conference, and at several of those, holistic veterinarians have felt, I've gotten a more mixed opinion from the generally holistic veterinarians, and some of them feel the preventative is fine, although they still limit how much they give. They don't necessarily give it every month. And some of them found that there were major problems. We all agree, however, that the drug companies are doing two things that are not good. One is they're recommending giving it more frequently than is needed. And two, they're putting combinations together. So you get heartworm, flea, tick, tapeworm, roundworm, hookworm, whipworm, all in one. So they are sometimes using higher dosages or different drugs. So instead of just dealing with heartworm, you're preventing things that your dog may never get anyway.
Hmm.
So we all agree that there are problems with, even if we feel there's not a major issue with heartworm prevention in general, the way the marketing is going is not good.
This is a problem, isn't it? Because have they actually tested what happens short and long term when you combine all of these preparations into one item?
Well, of course they've tested it, but their tests are not looking at things like the early warning signs that we look at. They're looking at major liver damage, kidney damage, that sort of thing.
Well, very often don't they put things to market like after 6 months of testing, a year of testing, but
that only tested on 5 or 6 dogs.
Huh. Okay.
The vaccine tests have been done on very few animals. For instance, I don't know about the heartworm testing actually. So an important thing then is, what is this heartworm prevention, and more importantly, how do dogs get heartworms? So the key thing is, dogs do not get heartworms by eating stool of other dogs. Dogs do not get heartworms through their feet from walking in the grass. Dogs do not get heartworm from saliva contact with another dog. Dogs do not get heartworm from people. Dogs get heartworms from mosquitoes. It's a two-host cycle. So we have a host, the dog, and an intermediate host, the mosquito. So if a dog has, we'll start it with somewhere, sometime, some dog got heartworms and had adult heartworms in his heart. Who knows where it actually, how this actually started.
You're talking about the chicken and the egg?
Exactly, that's the chicken and the egg. Who knows? But at some point, there was a dog that had adult heartworms in its heart, and those adult heartworms, if there was a male and a female, made babies, and the babies were in the bloodstream. We call those microfilaria. So in the old days, when I was a vet tech, and even for a while after I graduated in 1980, the way we tested for heartworms was we drew blood, and we spun it down, and we stained it with a purple dye, and we looked under the microscope to see if we could see these baby heartworms in the bloodstream. And a mosquito comes along and bites the infected dog and sucks up the microfilaria, which is a larval stage, into its gut. It then goes through several changes in the mosquito, ending up in ready to infect a dog sitting in the salivary glands of the mosquito. When the mosquito bites your dog, the skin, you know, is this incredible organ, and the skin doesn't let things get through it. So infective heartworm larvae cannot crawl through the skin. The only way they get into your dog is they fall out of the salivary glands of the mosquito, and then they have to make their way to the hole in the skin made by the mosquito in order to get inside the dog.
It seems very complicated and a minuscule possibility that such a thing can happen, but I guess it's often that this happens.
Yeah, in areas that have a lot of heartworm and dogs aren't on preventative, the dogs in the shelters, the ill, not well treated dogs that are roaming around do have a high incidence of heartworm. So it is something that's out there. So even, you know, it must be thousands of these little bugs come out of the salivary gland, so one can make it through. But we're not done yet.
Okay.
Once the larvae has crawled through the hole made by the mosquito, it now has to go for 4 to 6 months migrating from wherever it got bit to get to the heart and become adult. And it goes through further larval changes as it's migrating through the body. Now, during that time, a healthy body is going to send cells. It's going to send macrophages and blood cells and say, let's get rid of this, lymphocytes, tissue cells. This is an intruder. Get this guy out of here. So if a dog is healthy, a dog should be able to prevent the heart, those larvae from getting to the heart. Now,
that's fascinating. So you're saying even if this infection of the heartworm starts, the dog itself can stop the process through the cleanup of foreign invaders?
Just like it does with virus and bacteria that it gets all the time coming into its body, just like it heals its own wounds.
Interesting.
So it gets bit by an animal that has bacteria in its mouth, and the bacteria goes in and it makes an abscess. And the bacteria goes in. The abscess is not the bacteria. The abscess is the body's reaction to the bacteria being injected into the body.
Mm-hmm.
So an abscess isn't caused by whatever hit you. The abscess is caused by the body's reaction, just like a bruise. The bruise isn't the blow. The bruise is the blood coming to clean up the damaged tissue from the blow.
It's a very different way of thinking, isn't it? So if you saw...
This isn't even holistic. This is just immunology, physiology, pathology. This is regular, scientific, well-proven sort of stuff. That's how the body works.
It's regular medicine.
The piece that makes it holistic is to say, why is it that some dogs' immune system doesn't get rid of the heartworms and they actually get adults in their heart?
Mm-hmm.
And other dogs' immune system do get it and they don't get heartworms in their heart. And that has to do with, that then is your holistic perspective, that every animal is born with a unique vital force, chi, prana, whatever. There's an energy field, a vibrational pattern in each animal that has problems, has susceptibilities, has weaknesses and strengths. And so the holistic approach is, let's build up the overall health, because if the animal's healthy enough, then they'll be able to take care of these problems.
Mm-hmm. So
now,
if
they do everything you think is going to help have a dog be healthy, and they still get problems. That's because their vital force had some glitch that was so strong that everything we do hasn't been able to help it. And that's why some dogs at a young age come down with cancer, even though they're not vaccinated, fed a raw food diet, treated with homeopathy for all of their issues. So it's not saying it's 100%, but it increases the chances that your dog will be able to deal with something like heartworm larvae crawling through the body.
Right. So I also think about every single person has cancer cells in their body all the time, but they're being cleaned up by the immune system. And so you also mentioned if there's an abscess or this pus, Hepersulf is immediately came into my mind. Would, if you saw that on your animal, would that be something that you would think of also?
Well, remember what we've talked about here so much in terms of homeopathy is that the best use of homeopathy is like cures like. So every animal with an abscess does not need Hepersulf. Each mm-hmm. animal with an abscess may need a different homeopathic remedy. So Hepersulf abscesses are extremely painful. The animal mm-hmm. is fairly vulnerable, so they get really irritated and strike out and can be angry. It's one of the chilliest of all of the remedies. So after they start getting this abscess, they become very chilly and are seeking out heat. So that would be an indication for Hepersulf. Another indication would be an abscess that doesn't seem to bother the animal that much. It's not very painful. The animal's not irritated at all. Maybe the animal's become a little more timid, and then you would give silica. Or it could be an animal that develops an abscess, and they become really clingy and want to be in open air, and then you'd give pulsatilla. So it's whatever remedy, anytime an animal has any condition, there is no one remedy that treats one condition in all animals.
I love listening to you teach me about homeopathy. It's it's always a wonderful reminder because I might throw something up from my thinking, you know, my thinking mm-hmm. process of, oh, you know, you see an abscess and you think immediately about a remedy, but then you put it into clarity
right.
and you say, now, Debbie, hold on, look at the whole
right.
pet, and that's good. Okay, so
And if there's nothing there and you can't figure out what, then you sort of do a fallback onto something like Hepersulf. If if you're not seeing anything real clear cut, then you go with remedies that are, quote, known for helping that condition. So how the heartworm preventative that you give works is it does what the healthy body should do. It kills the migrating stages that are in the body. So the heartworm preventative, when you give the pill, it doesn't sit in the body for a month. It's in the body for, I think, 48 hours, 24 to 48 hours. During that time, it kills three of the migrating larval stages. And each heartworm preventative is a little bit different. So we've had some discussions on the listservs about whether this one's 6 weeks, this one's 8 weeks, this one's 12 weeks. So there's a little discussion about that. But basically, it kills most of the migrating larvae. So it's a morning after pill. It's after your dog is infected with heartworm larvae from a mosquito, then it kills. Now, that's very important to know because it determines when you're going to start giving heartworm preventative. So we want to make sure that's clear, that the heartworm preventative doesn't do anything until there are migrating larvae in the body and it kills them. And it kills anywhere from 2 to 4 months' worth of the migrating larvae. So a mosquito can bite your dog, and definitely a month later, and the larvae get through the hole and they start migrating through the body. Definitely a month later, it's going to kill all the bugs that are there. Two months later, it's probably going to kill all the bugs that are there. 3 months later, it's probably going to kill all the bugs that were there.
So is that good?
Well, if you are using heartworm prevention, that's an important thing to know, because when should you be giving the heartworm prevention if they kill up to let's take a conservative estimate and say up to 2 months of heartworm migrating through the body?
Mm-hmm.
Would you think that in the north, in the winter, that you should give a heartworm preventative?
in the north in the winter, are there mosquitoes?
Are there mosquitoes?
No. Okay, so you could save your money. You could save your pet the discomfort or having more chemicals in their body. So maybe it's wisest to give this medication only in the most the conditions when you might have the occurrence of the mosquito.
That's right. And it's even more than just thinking. So what I've always said in the past was wait until you've seen mosquitoes for a month. Really seen mosquitoes for a month. Not like you see two or three mosquitoes one day and then you haven't seen them for a while. But they've really been out and about for a month. Because remember, a mosquito has to find the infected dog. Mosquito has to be born, grow up, find the infected dog, develop in itself, then find your dog, and the larvae fall out on the skin of your dog and crawl through the hole. So all of that takes a while. So my general recommendation has been wait a month after you see where you've seen a lot of mosquitoes, get your blood test, and give your first dose of heartworm medication. In Maryland, in most areas, that would be the end of June. And then you wait 2 months, August, another 2 months, October, and either you're done then or you may need to do one more. So instead of 12 doses, you've done 3 or 4 doses. Big difference.
Are you telling me that pet owners give their pets 12 months worth of heartworm medicine?
When I was a conventional veterinarian in Washington, D.C., where no heartworm had ever been reported, people would come to me and say, well, why do I need to give this? And I go, oh, I saw a mosquito the other day in the middle of the winter. You know?
Okay.
And therefore you have to give it. But the science of it is that it really depends on the ambient temperature. The average temperature has to be between 72 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit day and night for 15 to 17 days. When it drops to less than 58 degrees Fahrenheit, the growth and development of the mosquito is inhibited. Or actually, the growth and development of the heartworm larvae is inhibited, and it would take months to develop in that mosquito. In 1999, one of the experts said in the northern two-thirds of the country, infective larval transmission only occurs for 3 to 5 months. A different article said the larvae need 2 weeks of temperature at or above 80 degrees, and another article said they need 2 weeks of temperature above 65 degrees. So that gives you some numbers to be thinking about, even though they don't all agree. The lowest is 58. And so you have to be warm enough. I mean, here I am in Washington, and even when I was home in Maryland, it was dropping down to 37 at night, every night. So there wasn't a need for heartworm prevention then. Even though it's May, we had this, even though we had heartworms way back, or we had mosquitoes maybe way back when we had warmer weather. But even there, we didn't have 2 weeks solid of over 65 degrees night and day.
So now that you're at this convention with all these holistic veterinarians, is this a topic that you talk about, and do you all corroborate with the same concept of minimal?
I spoke about that earlier, Debbie. I talked about the homeopathic conferences and the holistic conferences and all the differences that people had to say. So people can go back and listen earlier on that. So earlier in today's talk. So now you have to come to the decision, if you have a dog, do you want to use the preventative or not? Some people say, I'm just going to keep my dog healthy and assume I'm not going to get heartworms. I will blood test once or twice a year to see if there are heartworms. And we'll talk in a few minutes about if they get heartworms, then what do you do? So if you decide to use the preventative, now you know how to use the preventative. You're going to wait until temperature's been very warm day and night for 2 weeks. you're going to blood test and then give a preventative and wait anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months to repeat it. And you're going to watch, as we do all the time, you're going to watch the early warning signs of your dog to see if over the month after giving the heartworm prevention, all of a sudden the eyes become runny, the dog develops an odor, behavior problems change, anything that's on those early warning signs that you can find at my website or the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy website. So that's an idea, again, to keep a health journal, because on the treatment page of the journal, you'll write down when you give the heartworm prevention, and then you'll be able to track to see, okay, how are we doing? Okay, we're doing fine. Many dogs, like I say, are not affected, so you just are paying attention. Now, if you also have learned a way to ask the universe what's the best, like using applied kinesiology, a pendulum, or other testing, you can test to see which is the best day to give the preventative. You can say, I am giving a preventative. Is this the best one for my dog? Should I do interceptor or which one? And then you can test and say, is today the day I should give it? If it's a no, you wait a day and you go, is today the day I should give it? And that could actually get around having negative reactions to the drug. And then with older dogs, of course, if you see the early warning signs, then you know that dosing is a problem and you need to build up the vital force through good holistic care. Now, if your dog is older, it's probably time to not do the preventative anymore. As you think about it, depending again on the amount of heartworms in your area, the number of mosquitoes, where the dog is the dog an indoor dog mostly or an outdoor dog mostly, then the risk to the liver from the drugs may be higher than the risk to getting the heartworms as they get older, when they're like 80 years old. So that's another one. Now, if you are giving the preventative, there are a lot of people out there in the homeopathic community who say, every time you give a drug, give Nux Vomica afterwards. So they recommend once a month giving the preventative and then giving Nux Vomica afterwards, or every 2 months giving the preventative and then giving Nux Vomica afterwards. So does that make sense?
What's your opinion?
Well,
I'm throwing it back at you. Because
This gets just to what we talked about earlier.
I also think about, you know, me with the way I think Sina, I think of Sabadilla, I think of other remedies also, and I'm wondering why Nux Vomica was chosen. Is it because it's a liver remedy?
It's Nux Vomica is the one people use because it is the main one to think of when you have adverse reactions to medications.
Oh, drug overdose.
Drug sensitivity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you're focusing on the drug. The reason for giving it has nothing to do with the heartworms. It has to do with, I've given my dog a drug that may be bad for the dog, so I'm going to give Nux Vomica. But again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that's like treating an abscess. Why
right.
would every dog need Nux Vomica? That assumes that every single dog reacts exactly the same to every single different kind of preventative. And we know that's not true.
It's allopathic thinking.
So I don't recommend that. Now, what I do recommend, though, which sometimes may seem a little like allopathic thinking, but it has to do with understanding different holistic modalities. Homeopathy is based on like cures like. When it really works, it's because you match the totality of symptoms of the animal with the totality of symptoms of the remedy, and then you get good success. However, you can use Reiki or healing touch or other general energy treatments. Their philosophy is not like cures like. Their philosophy is, I'm able to offer energy that the animal will take or person will take and direct it to where it's needed. So I do recommend, after using any kind of drugs, vaccines, food that's not as good as you think it might be, to use Reiki on the substance before you give it. So I would Reiki the pill before you give it to your dog, and then offer Reiki for a few days after you give it. And therefore, you got to learn Reiki.
I do.
Or healing touch or other energy types of modalities like
that. I can just pray, can't I?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
Yep, some people feel, and it's a matter of what you feel is works for you. So a Christian Science person who's giving the preventative to their dog would just see the dog as whole and complete and that there's no problem. But I can't do that because I'm not that, I understand it, but I don't believe it that much. It's not ingrained in me. Prayer, I do know people heal with prayer, but I haven't personally seen the success with it, so I wouldn't trust it for myself with heartworm prevention. I actually have seen my Reiki make a difference and heal things, so therefore Reiki, for me, I would be able to believe. So that's why I say any type of general energetic healing support is the thing to do.
Well, I think you just opened up a can of worms, and so that will have to be for another whole show about all of these energy medicines and whether or not you have to believe in it, because, you know, that's one of the controversies.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. So now, what if you decide not to use the preventative? So number one, keep them as healthy as possible using the 7 keys to health, homeopathic principles, assume the dog's going to kill those migrating larvae, and blood test once or twice a year. If they get infected, most dogs can actually tolerate a few adult heartworms in their heart without having health issues. Some dogs whose vital force has a susceptibility in the heart area can develop heart failure from getting heartworms. So you're going to have to, you know, each dog is going to have to be evaluated differently. When you're not using a prevention, then you pay attention to high mosquito times. And if you're going out for walks in the swamp, you use a natural herbal mosquito repellent. And you just pay attention. Maybe you try to time your walks when the mosquitoes aren't as bad. And some people then also want to use a natural preventative. So far, I am not sold on any of them. There is a heartworm nozode where they took a heartworm from a dog and I think some of the blood from a dog who was infected with heartworms, and they created a homeopathic remedy from that. So some people give that nozode once a month. Again, the problem with that is it doesn't really fit homeopathy. It's the like cures like, because we're saying that this heartworm nozode is going to prevent every dog in the world, if it's given regularly, from getting heartworms. Now, some practitioners, some homeopathic veterinarians, they say it works 100%. I say your dogs just didn't get heartworm in your practice. In my practice, I've only had 2 dogs, and they were in one family. One was super healthy, and one wasn't healthy, and they lived in a very heavy mosquito area. And in 30 years of holistic practice, those are the only 2 that ever got heartworms. I've had other ones who came to my practice with heartworms because they'd been adopted from shelters. But so I'm not sure the nozode works there. And there was a breeder who recently I was doing some internet searching, and there were several people who said that they had initially tried the heartworm nozode and it hadn't worked. They had dogs that got heartworms that were on it. So I've heard reports like that from other people.
Now, what about building up the dog? Well, like I typically think of Sabadilla or Sabadilla, however you pronounce it, for people who have a tendency to get bites when they go outside. Maybe it's Staphylococcus aureus or some other remedy, And this kind of boosts their own immune system so the mosquitoes don't go after them.
Well, that's why I said if you're giving no preventative, what I really want people to do is to build up the general health of their animal. I want them to do it by using the 7 keys to health, vaccinating the least, using the fewest chemicals, feeding the best food, looking at the early warning signs, treating them with homeopathic constitutional remedies. And if they're doing that, then they will be less appealing to the mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
Back to should they give sabadilla to prevent? I'm not sure. With people, I guess you can tell, well, when I take this remedy, I don't get mosquitoes seem to avoid me. But with animals, that would be too hard to tell. And which of the multiple remedies would you give? Do you give one a day? Do you give it every day? Do you give it 2 times a day? Do you give it 4 times a day? There's no... Hahnemann never talked about doing that. Hahnemann didn't believe in doing that. So there's nothing in the Organon about take this remedy and prevent getting a disease. Take this remedy and prevent getting bug bites. That's
right.
Hahnemann thought.
In this case, it is an interesting scenario. On Monday, on next Tuesday at 8 p.m., we're going to have Dr. Isaac Golden on a live stream video show, and he will be talking about endemic disease, infectious diseases. I think it's a lot different than talking about getting bit by a mosquito.
Yes, it is. Endemic disease, Hahnemann did talk about. That's the famous scarlet fever in the boarding school. But what he did there was he found the genus epidemicus for the school or the disease. So he took the case of all the girls who got scarlet fever, and the remedy they all needed, even though they presented slightly differently, was belladonna. So then he gave belladonna to all of the girls who had been exposed, and none of them came down with the disease.
Right.
But that didn't mean that he then went out and gave belladonna to every single person who might be exposed to scarlet fever. He didn't say that belladonna would prevent scarlet fever. He just said in this epidemic, scarlet fever was prevented by belladonna. So, yes, he definitely talked about that.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a great big show about that.
Great. So that's Tuesday at 8 p.m.?
Yes, Eastern Time, USA.
Excellent. So everybody should listen to that. That would be a great show to listen to.
Okay, so
Jen,
I have... Go ahead.
The last thing we're moving on to is what if your dog actually, if you choose to do no prevention, or even if you're on prevention and your dog comes down with heartworms, then what? Well, most dogs will tolerate them if they don't have a particular major heart issue in their vital force. And the adult heartworms in the heart will die within a year or two. So the treatment for heartworm is herbs and homeopathic treatment to build up their health, to let the body stay healthy in spite of those adults being in the heart. And the homeopathic veterinarians basically say it's about 75% effective, that occasionally you have a dog that you do need to use the chemicals on, but once you've done the holistic treatment first, they're healthy enough to tolerate the injectable medicines, either the arsenic injection or the new imidacide, which is injected into the muscles, because those can cause problems, of course, as well. But usually they recover fine. Now, I have discovered in my practice the people who've come to me with foster dogs or shelter dogs who had heartworms when they got them. Many times I don't hear about this except as a sideline, and they've, quote, cured the dog of heartworms by using a variety of different things, from canned pumpkin. I think they were thinking of pumpkin seeds, but they just did canned pumpkin. So the canned pumpkin didn't have any effect on the worms. But what the canned pumpkin did was maybe boost the immune system in general. So it allowed the dog to stay healthy, and then the worms died. To flower essences like para out of sight, to para L, which is an herbal, to black walnut, vitamin C. there are a number of different holistic protocols out there, and I think that most of them are just building up the overall health of the animal so it can tolerate having these bugs in its body until the bugs die. In some cases, maybe it is actually getting the, you know, the, mm-hmm. helping the bugs die sooner, the worms die sooner. So that's the bottom line with heartworm prevention. So
okay.
just think carefully and ask questions.
Absolutely. Call Dr. Christina Shambro. She has a lot of experience with this. I have a question about the use of garlic, because in my complete list of potentially hazardous foods, which I've written a huge blog on, garlic is one of them, and yet I always think about garlic.
Garlic is not a problem. It's just like with onions. Garlic is fine. PetGuard Food Company has sold garlic and yeast tablets since 1981, and they've never had an adverse reaction.
That is good news.
There are tons of people that are feeding garlic. I can't think of the names of the proprietary names now, but there are a ton of products out there with garlic, and they just doesn't cause a problem. People lump garlic and onions together. Mm-hmm. Onions, in a few cases, have caused Heinz body anemia, and there have been some reports occasionally that there was a problem with garlic. But even with the onion, I think it's just an individual vital force problem, and I don't worry a lot about onion, although I don't recommend that you on purpose feed a lot of onion. But if you have chopped up onion in your fried rice and you're giving a treat of fried rice, don't mm-hmm. worry about the little bit of onion that's in there. Again, every once in a while there's a super susceptible animal to anything. You mm-hmm. could have an animal that you feed beef to and all of a sudden they have an allergic reaction. So, but in general, garlic is fine. And some people say garlic prevents heartworms. Again, I think garlic boosts the immune system in general.
Mm-hmm.
Or parasites in the digestive tract, garlic definitely can make them decide they don't want to stay in that digestive tract any longer and make them move out. Or if they come in, they don't stay. So garlic garlic does put an odor in the skin that often prevents fleas.
That's what I was thinking about. You know, rubbing mm-hmm. the garlic into the fur. And
oh, no. You feed it. Don't rub it in the fur. By feeding it, it puts an odor in the bloodstream that's in the skin that prevents. And again, part of that is just healthy blood. Fleas don't like healthy blood. Fleas like sick blood.
Isn't that interesting? So that's fleas. And what about mosquitoes as well? It would.
More than likely, if you notice, one of the holistic ways to prevent people from getting mosquito bites is to take a lot of B vitamins.
Okay,
B vitamins are present, so a lot of people never get bit. Maybe they have a higher level of B vitamins. Maybe they just have an energetic aura that says, "I'm healthy. Don't bother me."
Right. Well, usually we just say, "I'm sweet." And that's why they pick on me to, you know, bite the mosquitoes to
right.
bite me, because you
right.
say, well, you just have sweet blood.
Right.
And and what about, you know, smoke? A lot of people will put little smoke bombs around to keep the mosquitoes away.
Well,
and, of course, I've written a number of blogs. One of them is on keeping pests away, so I could put a link to that on the page too. Of course, if you're in an endemic area, you want to have sleep in netting and things like that for malaria. But we are concentrating. Today's show was on heartworm. And what about cats? Do they get it too?
Well, cats do get heartworms. They don't pass it on to other cats. They're what's called a blind host or something. So they can get the adults, and it isn't, you can't, the basic easy tests don't work for the cats, and they often, it goes more into the lungs, and they have asthma-type problems. So mm-hmm. if a cat is coughing or having, you know, chest and lung issues, heartworms is definitely something to check for. I do not think it's that common. I do not recommend it, and none of the holistic homeopathic vets that I know recommend it, using prevention for the cats.
Okay. And maybe we could do a show about equine at some point and the kind of treatments that they get on a regular basis, too, because a lot of people love their horses.
Absolutely. Let's see, people, those of you who have horses out there, send in notes and say if you're interested, if you want to do a show on that.
Okay. So we're going to have a regular show next Thursday. You'll remind me what the topic is.
Next Thursday, I will have finished the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy Conference. And
okay.
So I'm going to talk about what came up at the conference.
That sounds awesome.
So I'll give a report from the conference. So we don't have notes on that one, but that's what we'll be talking about.
Okay, and then the week after that, Thursday the 17th, I'll be out of town, so we're going to skip that Thursday. You can always listen to the archives. We've done, 20-something shows. Let's see, 26 shows today, so that's quite a few. And we really thank everybody for coming on and listening and for tweeting, sharing on Facebook, putting a link in your email to your friends who love their pets and want to learn how to take good care of them. And what else can we tell you about sharing? And why don't you send a note to Dr. Christina Chambrow? Let her know how much you appreciate the time she spends giving you these talks. Because I really love having you on.
That's great. And my email is healthyanimals@aol.com.
Perfect. And don't forget, if you go to Homeopathy World Community, we have all the links and everything to the shows and about the upcoming workshops that you're doing. It's this summer. So if you want to get up close and personal, have one-on-one, have really intensive study sessions with her, give her a call, email her, check out her website, healthyanimals.com, and get her journal. What are the books that you have?
And that's it, the Healthy Animals Journal.
Healthy Animals Journal, yep. And, okay, so let me just tell you, we have coming up, Christina, if you would like to head out and go back to your conference, that's fine. I'll just give the update to the rest
Good.
Of the listeners.
All right. Enjoy, okay. Everybody.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so for the rest of you, we have coming up in about 7 minutes, Alan Phillips, attorney at law from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is going to be talking about the latest vaccine current events, what's happening in your area legislatively in the different states, what is going to set precedent for the rest of the nation to follow. Are you going to be a health advocate for yourself, for your family members, whether you are concerned about getting your children or your child a vaccine in order to get into their school, whether you are in the military or in the health professions, going into hospitals, into medical care facilities, and the requirements that they have for you. If you're an immigrant to the country, what are the requirements, and do you need to speak to an advocate in terms of required vaccinations? What are the after effects? And that's when next Tuesday at 8 p.m., Dr. Isaac Golden from Australia is graciously going to be on and talk about this incredible national experiment from Cuba, where they gave millions of doses of homeopathic nosode remedy to prevent leptospirosis, another major infection that occurs after flooding, after hurricanes, and how the disease was literally stopped in its tracks. And you can see through these types of major experiments. And of course, homeopathy is gentle, safe, non-toxic, has no side effects, and really is the way to go in terms of energetic medicines. Of course, you need to find your homeopathic practitioner to give you the best care, especially if it is a serious condition. So we're going to see we're going to be talking with Alan Phillips. He's up shortly. And then on Mondays, we've got the Health In Show, which is the live video stream. We're into our second month of programming. You can check out on Homeopathy World Community. The top banner will take you to the Health In group, which has an itemization, a listing of all the shows that we've had so far, and they've all been recorded for your watching pleasure. Then on Monday evenings, we have had, over the past year, Grant Bentley, who is also an Australian naturopath and homeopath, talking about facial analysis and how he uses his method to analyze the structure of a person's face, where the placement of all the features are, and what they, their shapes, their sizes, everything about that, and how that helps him to find the grouping of the most recommended matching selection of the remedy. And this is all based on the forces of nature, on physics, on how we express ourselves in our world. Then on Wednesday morning, we've started up again with Dr. Adil Chimthalawala Kasim, a cardiologist from India. And we had a most powerful show yesterday morning, talking about the rubrics from the chest chapter in Kent's repertory. We've been slowly going through that. He provides for us real life experiences in the clinic, people who have serious disease, and he can help them through these illnesses using homeopathic remedies. So I highly recommend, it's a very popular show. That's Wednesday morning at 11 Eastern Time, USA. So that really ties it up for all of our show listenings. And we're going to be having Alan come on in about 3 minutes. Go ahead on to, you can favorite the show. You can get reminders on the Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. If you're on Twitter, go ahead and click the share buttons. They have plenty of share buttons there right above the chat window, and use those to let other people know. You can either put them on the social bookmarking for StumbleUpon, Dig, Reddit, and many of the other networks. And so if you've not been on those are really cool places to visit, and store your favorite URLs, store the favorite places that you like to visit on the internet, and become pretty savvy at using your social bookmarks. I'm going to sign out of this show, and I'll be back in just a minute with Alan. So hang in there. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brook and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!